another opportunity to hear the word of God. We pray for your blessing upon this service. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. Powerful, amen. Well, be seated and let's continue sharing from this really powerful little book, How You Can Become a Strong Christian. Amen. And we're going to be printing copies here soon, isn't it? Right? So we can, everybody can have one. And such a great, powerful book. Amen. Right. So let me go back to where I was last week, last Sunday. We were talking about how to have a deeper Christian life, isn't it? In the morning, we had spoken about developing roots in the Lord, isn't it? Because we read the scripture that says that people that have no roots, people who do not have any roots in the Lord, they receive the word with joy, and they, because they have no root in themselves, they believe for a while, and then in time of temptation, they fall away. And in the book of Mark, Mark was explaining that actually what happens is that when persecution arises for the word's sake, that means when someone accuses you or someone tries to criticize you because of an aspect of the word that you practice, then they immediately fall away, they become offended, they are affected by what they heard, and that's because they have no roots. Amen. Now, one of the scriptures we obey in our church, and one of the scriptures we love to obey, is to honor our father and our mother. Right? Now, as we obey that, one of the persecutions we attract is that we worship our father. Do you understand? So, you find that if you do not have roots, you know, you become offended by that. It affects you. You start to look out for worship. And then you begin to exercise a certain caution that takes the honor away. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, there are many things like that. I mean, we don't worship our father or founder or pastor. We just love him. Do you understand? And when you love somebody enough, it can look like worship. Do you understand? Like when you have someone, you go to someone's office and they have their loved one's pictures everywhere. You get it on the, it's there, the screensaver is on top of the computer, so there's one face on top of it and one face on it. Then another one on the left and another one on the right, and you go into your car, it's there, when you open your wallet, it's there, and it's like, what, are you worshipping this person? But what has produced that is the extent of love that you have, and it's the fact that the person means so much to you. And there's nothing wrong with someone meaning so much to you, especially if the person has been a blessing to you. You see what I'm saying? So we need to have roots. We need to be deep. We shouldn't just follow things. That's why asking questions is always a good idea. Amen? When you don't understand something, always ask a question. Ask someone who you think should know. And if they don't know, they can also ask someone who they think should know. Amen? But don't just follow and flow in things so that when you encounter persecution, you see, and accusations and criticisms, you know, which are often baseless. You get it? They're often baseless. I mean, the other day somebody was asking, why do we teach loyalty in our church? You know, the person was having a fit over it. It's like, why should we teach loyalty? You should be free to go to any church you want and leave it any time you want and all that. We say, yeah, so what is the point of gathering the sheep then? Jesus said, I am the door to the sheep. Doors only serve one purpose. What is the purpose of a door? To control or restrict entry and exit. And Jesus said, the sheep have a door, which means when he gathers the sheep, he has no intention of losing them. Have you not seen that verse? He said that, look, nobody shall pluck them out of my hands. He said that all that you have given me, I have lost none. See, these people don't read all these scriptures. Jesus said, all that you have given me, I have lost none, except the son of perdition. Well, if you want to go, you can be the son of perdition. We're willing to lose you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And you see that people do not understand this. They do not read the Bible. When somebody says something, you must ask them, you bring a verse. Bring a verse about what you are saying. Don't just say that it feels wrong. Do you understand? Because your feelings are bogus. I mean, the worst part of you is your feelings. Yeah, because when you take your whole human existence, when you take a person, you take a human being, you see, the person is saved from the inside out. Your spirit is saved. Then your soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and so on, the least affected by your salvation experience is this guy. Do you understand? Now, when you want to use that to challenge the scripture, it's like the unbelieving part of you is the one that is challenging the scriptures. Do you see what I'm saying? The worst part of a person is his flesh. You see? So, let's develop roots. Amen? Let's develop roots. And while I was with them, I kept them in your name. Those that thou gavest to me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Do you see that? But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Do you see? So if you want to be the son of perdition, then you can. Then we will accept that it's okay to lose you. But otherwise, we have no intention of losing you. Do you understand? The sheep were scattered. You know, let me show you that verse. Ezekiel, no. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. He says, and Jesus went about all the cities, preaching and teaching. Then verse 36, he says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you see that? So when sheep do not have a shepherd, this is the effect, scattering. So when the shepherd comes, what should you expect? A gathering. The scattering must stop. The same shepherd, the scattering was happening because there was no shepherd. But when there is a shepherd, the one thing that must not be is the scattering and the fainting. Do you understand? That is why the pastor must encourage you. That's why the pastor must keep searching for you and gathering you and trying to bring you together. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And show you the teachings and the things in the Bible that keep us together. Because scattering is never good for the sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5. Let me show you that one. This is just a bonus exhortation. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5. Ezekiel 34 and verse 5 says, and they were scattered, do you see, because there is no shepherd. When there is a shepherd, there will be no scattering. God doesn't want his sheep all over the place. One here, one there, one there, one there. No! Somebody in somebody's bed somewhere, another one in a bar somewhere, you know. God doesn't want that because he redeemed them by his blood. Do you understand? Now, see what happens then. It says that they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Do you see what I'm saying? So, the scattering is caused by the absence of a shepherd. And when they are scattered, they become meat to all sorts of beasts. Do you see? When they are scattered. And when you see people whose lives are loaded with beastly situations, it is often because there is no shepherd. Do you see what I'm saying? There is no shepherd, or they are not yielded to the shepherd. Because sometimes you have a shepherd, but if they are not yielded to the shepherd, it says like, he maketh me lie down. If you say lie down, you don't lie down. If the shepherd cannot make you do anything, then you also realize that. so many other things that will happen to you. So we have a basis for doing the things we do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I understand it very thoroughly and very clearly. And I don't go by anybody's feelings about, you know, we visit people too much, or we close mark people too much, or that we care too much about people. Because like this afternoon, a couple of people who were not in church on my way here, I called them already, hey, what's going on, type of thing. I mean, then I said, why? The church, small church we're attending, can't we breathe a little? Can't we breathe a little if we don't go to church? Oh, me, what are you talking about? Do you think that we are just gathering you just to scatter you? No. Huh? You think we're just gathering people just to allow them to become meat to all the beasts of the field? The Lord had a problem when they had no shepherd. Do you see what I'm saying? When you continue reading that chapter, you see he bought with the shepherds. I'm against the shepherds. Okay, look what's in verse 6. Verse 6 of this chapter. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Then he says, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Do you see that? He said, none did search or seek after them. Then you, some backsliding Christian who doesn't search or seek after any sheep, you are rather coming to criticize the person who is trying to seek and search for God's people. And making him feel like he is doing something wrong, he's too nosy, he's too inquisitive, he should mind his own business and allow God's people to breathe a little. When there's judgment looming over his head because God is upset with him for not searching and seeking after his people. God wants to know where his people are. You understand? Verse 7, what does he say? It says, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 8, as I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. That means the shepherd's fault. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock. What are shepherds supposed to do? Search for the flock. But the shepherds did what? Minded their own business. As this backsliding brother is recommending that we do. Do you see what I'm saying? And fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord of God. Behold, I'm against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand. And cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. Now, even you, your food, you too, you will not even eat. Do you understand? For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. You see, so this whole thing is very serious business. But you see somebody, you meet the person, they've never even read these scriptures before. They don't know all these things that are in the Bible. But they just have some feeling. Do you follow what I'm saying? They just have some feeling that, you know, in this church, people are too much into people's business. Or people are always searching for people. If you don't go to church one day, you're going to get 5 calls. Or 3 people are going to call you or something like that. Why? It's like that's not how to be in the church. Why? Is it a cult? Then you see, they start to move us around all these areas. Then we who do not have roots start to be offended. Do you understand? We start to be offended by these sayings and these comments that people make all over the place. And then we begin to drop the things, valuable things that God has given us for raising up his people. Amen. So we must have roots. Can I have an amen? How many are going to develop roots? Amen. Are these verses helpful to anyone? Yeah, you should be able to explain them to somebody. You should tell the person, look, bring your scriptures, I bring my scriptures. You sit down and let's sit down and let's talk. Do you understand? Yeah. The other day I heard it was somebody's birthday and that some people were trying to organize something or do something for their pastor or something like that. And then some brother also in there started to make some funny comments, you know, implying, you know, that, you know, implying in essence that what they are doing is it's like it's too much for one person or whatever they are doing, you know. And as you see, some people always link it to the poor. They always say that there are other people, just like it happened in the case of Jesus. When the woman broke the expensive oil, then somebody said, what a waste. It should have been given to the poor. You see, so it's always linked to the poor. That's the hideout. Once you mention the poor, then it's like, oh, that's a real case. You see, well, if Jesus had not come to rebuke this woman, those guys would have gotten away with it. If, I mean, not the woman. He rebuked the people who were making those comments. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. People have all kinds of arguments. You see, somebody said, I've done research about tithing. He said, why don't you do research about sinning? Do research about fornication and its impact on a Christian life. Do some research. So many other things you can study and be strong in. Except that you want to hide your stinginess. You don't want to give anything to the Lord. And it's often the worst of people who do not feel. You forget about tithe at all. Let's say you've gone to work. You've got a certain amount of money in your hand. It is the worst of people who feel that because I work, my energy, my strength, my time, my intelligence, everything in my hand is for me. Nobody else deserves anything. Do you see what I'm saying? Not even forget about time, but even the fact that you don't feel that you owe anything to anybody else just because you work and earn what you have in your hand. It's the worst of people. It's ingratitude. It's ingratitude. Because you will realize that in this world, nobody becomes anything without the help of somebody. Yeah. And if you all become something by the grace of God, you owe it to even life and existence to also give back and help somebody become something. Yeah. You see, by the time you are being born already, there are nurses and doctors and everybody, there are people ready to catch you. Do you understand? Yeah, who is paying those people? You? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, there are people already to help you, to catch you, people to wipe you and clean you up and give you your shots and, you know, tickle you and make you cry and let your lungs open. People are helping you to exist. People are helping you to exist, and you didn't hire all these people. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you see that there's a lot of free help that goes with life itself. That people just, you, and when you have been blessed to be properly placed in life, you should have a willingness to also give back. Do you understand? To also help so that the human race can continue and life can continue. It's just basic. You see, how you meet somebody who's just talking and making all these arguments, it just pains you that you will take 10% of your something and give it to the Lord. And you're hiding that. You're hiding that. But you're actually greedy. You want to keep everything to yourself because you feel like you worked for it. But you don't know that so many other things have worked even to keep you where you are and to make you useful the way you are. Say amen. Anyway, so I don't know. I don't know how these verses are just free. Amen. So all I'm saying is develop roots. Do you see what I'm saying? Be deep in things, the things you do. Wisdom, prosper, prudential. Be deep. Amen. In the things that we practice. Can I have an amen? Why do we sing in church? Be deep. You understand? Why do we go for one church here and we go to another church? You need to be solid in your reasoning. Do you understand? And be solid in what you do so that when persecution arises for the word's sake, you don't become offended and fall away. You see, backslide. And you see, you go and follow someone and backslide, then later he will come and see the light and join the thing. Do abusive. And there are people like that. I've heard a couple of stories like that. Somebody who talks you out of the church, and then he receives a revelation and joins the team. You see, when you are at that point messed up and can't even find your way back into the church, then you see they have become, you know, anointed and pastors. It's fantastic. God have mercy on all of us. Amen. All right. So the other thing we were talking about, you know, the second step to becoming deep is to be filled, isn't it? And we said seven things to be filled with. Number one, to be filled with the fullness of God. Do you remember that? Number two is to be filled with the Spirit. And that's where we talk about speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart always to the Lord, isn't it? Number three is being filled or be filled with the knowledge of His will. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Amen. That you will be filled with the knowledge of His will. Amen. We must know God's will for our lives. We must know in every situation what God wants, what God's word says. Amen. God's will is His word. God's will concerning every situation is His word. And as we get to know His word more and more, we can be filled with the knowledge and understanding of what God's will is. Amen. Yeah. That many things, you don't even have to go and pray about it to find out what. See, there are some things you pray about where it's not clearly stated in the scriptures. Do you understand? But when you have read the scriptures enough and you're familiar with God's word, when you've been listening to messages and so on, at a point you become filled with the knowledge of what God's will is. Amen. You become filled with the knowledge of what God's will is. You know what is right and you know what is wrong. Amen. You know what is wrong and you know what is right. And based on that, you become useful and you are able to help other people who do not seem to be strong or who do not seem to be familiar with knowing His will. Hallelujah. I believe that we all must seek to know the will of the Lord, to be filled with His will. Amen. And also to pray, like Paul said, "I have been praying that you be filled with the knowledge of His will through spiritual wisdom and understanding." You know, we must also pray that God's will be done in our lives. Amen. God's will is superior to your will. God must be more clever than you and I, isn't it? And what God has for you must be better than what you have for yourself. Often, we do not trust God. We feel that, you know, people feel uneasy just to drop their lives into God's hands. But what's funny is that it's in His hands anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? If your life is actually in His hands. You see, if God says it's out, it's out. You see what I'm saying? When God says it's over, it's over. You see, my wife is showing me a photograph of somebody, a picture. It says final funeral rites for so-and-so. The person is, you know, 50 years old. You know, so I immediately sent the photograph to another friend of ours, you see, who also just turned 50 recently. And it's interesting that one person 50, he's going down. Another person 50 is having a party. Do you see? Our lives really are nothing. There's not much you can do, do you see, to even extend your life. And Jesus said, He says, "Which of you by taking thought," that means by planning, do you understand, "can add just a cubit to his stature?" Because you can't. You can't just add to it. You can't. That is why surrendering to His will is important. Hallelujah. Surrendering to His will. Wise people pray, "Thy will be done." Smart people pray God's will. When you pray for God's will to be done in your life, you activate superior intelligence, you understand, superior powers to guide your life into places where it should be and into your best life. Amen. Your best life is in the center of God's will. So pray always. Don't be afraid of God's will. What bad thing can God do to you? You understand? That you cannot do to yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we must be filled with the knowledge of His will. Amen. Next one is to be filled with joy. Be filled with joy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Amen. You must be filled with joy. Hallelujah. Let us learn the art of cultivating and maintaining joy in our lives, that we must not lose our joy, isn't it? We must not lose our joy. And last time I was sharing with you from Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, remember that verse? That the joy of the Lord is your strength, isn't it? Yeah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Jesus said that you cannot go into a strong man's house and take his goods unless you first bind him. Do you understand? He says, or else how can you go into a strong man's house and take his goods unless you first bind him? You get it? To bind a strong man means to overcome his strength. So for the devil to get your goods are simply your goods. Anything that is good in your life is a good. Isn't it? So your goods are this good thing plus this good thing plus this good thing plus this good thing plus this good thing you have going in your life. They all come together to form your goods. And the Bible says you cannot access someone's goods unless you first bind him. You must bind the person. You must overcome his strength. You must take away the source of his strength. You must, before they bound something, they cut his hair. Until they cut Samson's hair, they could not bind him. They had tried many times to bind him, and he would get up and then break the cords. They would tie him with all kinds of things when he was sleeping, and then he would wake up and then just break out of them. Easy. If your strength remains intact, it doesn't matter what they wrap around your life. If your strength, which is your joy, is intact, you rise up like Samson and you just break out of it. You break out of it just like that. Sometimes you go to bed and overnight the devil just wraps your life up with issues and issues and issues. And just before you wake up, say, "One more round." So then you are just tied and tied and tied and tied and tied and tied all the way up to your feet. But if you can wake up with your joy, you just break out of the issues. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You just break out of your joy. A long time ago, I saw a book. The title of the book was, "If the Devil Cannot Steal Your Joy, He Can't Keep Your Goods." Yeah. I think the guy was Jerry Savelle or some guy like that. It says, if Satan cannot steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. He will not keep your goods. It's your joy he is after. Do you understand? So an ability to stay joyful. Listen, you really have to learn and cultivate the art of maintaining your joy and staying happy. Do you understand? You have to learn how to be happy. The Bible talks about Paul and Silas being in prison. And it says at midnight in prison, Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord. To show everybody that praising the Lord really is not a function of what is going on in your life, but rather that you have learned the art of being happy wherever you are. And Paul said it. He said, you see, let me read the scripture before Pastor Fernandez takes it away. Or else, how can anyone enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Do you see? Yeah, it says, if he binds the strong man, he can spoil his house. So the devil cannot spoil any good thing in your life if you will stay strong. If your strength remains, which is your joy, he cannot take anything that belongs to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? He cannot take anything that belongs to you. And I'm saying that we need to learn the art of remaining and maintaining joy despite what is going on in our lives. Amen. Paul and Silas showed it to us. They were dancing and singing praises at midnight, the darkest hour of the night. They were singing and dancing. They were in chains and they were dancing. Can you imagine how they even used the chains to create the beat? You know, because as he was stepping, then it was giving a tambourine-ish type of feel or some kind of a cymbal type of sound or a hi-hat, and they were just praising the Lord. The Bible says that other prisoners, other people in similar circumstances were hearing them. They were quiet. They were overcome by their prison, succumbed to their situation, and had yielded to their chains as, this is my lot. I will not be able to do anything about it. But there was another group of prisoners, people in the same circumstance, people in the same chains, but who thought differently, do you understand? Who said, look, we may be in chains. They can put our feet in chains, but they can't put our praise in chains. They can't put our joy in chains, because our joy is in our hearts. Our joy is not in something you can point to. It's not in something you can say, if you take this away, you take this away, you take this away, you still can't access our joy. Amen. Yeah. That's why when they wanted to, the lady Delilah, she was trying to find out, where is your strength? Where is your strength? Where is your strength? Please, Samson, you don't love me. You don't love me. Oh, you don't love me, Samson. Yeah. Oh, Samson, you don't love me. You don't love me. You are pretending to me all the time. You need to tell me, where is the source of your strength? What makes you so strong? What vitamins do you take? Do you see? Then Samson would tell her one story or the other. One story or the other. Because he couldn't find, this guy is mysterious. No matter what we do to him, we can't seem to cripple him. And so they were wondering, what is it, until Samson foolishly became reckless with the source of his strength. Do you understand? He told the lady, my strength is in this leaf. Today the weave is featuring. I mean, she went to Texas for 2 days and she came back white. I don't know what vitamins she was taking in that place. But Samson said, the thing is right here. And, you know, the enemy did not waste any time at all. As soon as Samson said, it's here, the next thing is scissors. To chop, 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 chop. To show you that the enemy is not joking with you. He's not joking with you. He knows that if you say this is the source of your strength, I need to overcome it to access and spoil your goods. Spoil your marriage. Spoil your children. Spoil your family. Spoil your future. Attack your health. Attack your hope. Attack everything good you have going for you. Look, we may have challenges and difficulties in our life, but everybody has something good going for them. God has not left anyone without goods. Everybody has goods. Everybody has something in your life which another person wishes they had. That is the truth. even some of the things that cause you aggravation are things that somebody would gladly like to have. Yes. See, sometimes they put people put, you know, things they don't need by the curb. That's somebody's business. That's somebody's business. Some people have bought a pickup truck. Yeah? 1-800 got junk. Yes? Then you just call me. I'll come for it. Free. That is his business. The thing you don't want is where my life actually begins. You see what I'm saying? So everybody has some goods in your life worth protecting. Say, I have some goods. Can you think of some goods? Can you think of some goods? Yes, everybody has some goods. And goods are just good things. Amen. And he says, he knows that if I can access your strength, I can take the goods. So he chops off and tries to chop off your jaw, which the Bible says is your strength. It is your strength. Your joy is your strength. Learn how to stay joyful. Paul and Silas showed us that it does not depend on what is going on. It does not depend on where you are. It all depends on you. It's inside you. And as they danced and praised the Lord in the prison, the Bible says the angel of the Lord responded to the praise and came to take them out. I tell you, he came to open the room, loosen the chains and remove the chains and ask them to go out. And they decided to relax there till morning. And then the jailer, when he came and he saw that the prison had been opened, he was going to kill himself because he thought, after this one, I'm dead. These are prime prisoners who have escaped under my watch. So I will not live anymore. And before he committed suicide, Paul and Silas said, oh, stop it. We are here. We are here. We are right here. Don't do it. We are right here. That day, the jailer was saved. His household was saved. Everybody in his family was saved because of the circumstance that was supposed to make Paul and Silas cry, but which they were able to overcome because they were able to keep their joy. Can I have an amen? Fight for your joy. Amen? Fight for your joy. Learn how to be happy. Amen? Learn it. Happiness is an art. It's not something that just happens when your circumstances change or something like that. It's something you learn how to do. Yeah. This is at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises to the Lord. Because happiness is an act. It's not a function of your circumstances. It is something you do. You make a choice to stay happy in spite of what is happening around you. Can I have an amen? Sometimes when you look so cheerful, people think you're not serious. Yeah, you're not serious. You don't have a job and you're laughing. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Go and ask Paul and Silas. You're in prison in chains and you are dancing. What should they do? What should they do? Especially when you're in situations that you cannot do anything about. Because sometimes you're in a situation whether you jump, you fly. You dance, you scream, you cut yourself. You really cannot change anything about it. It is what it is. And you just have to surrender to it. And many of God's people in the Bible just have to surrender themselves to things and just leave themselves to God and to whatever will happen. Daniel did it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did that. And well, I don't know what else. They said they are taking me to prison for praying. I don't know what, I can't unpray. I have prayed, they have caught me. They are taking me to prison. What can I do? Unpray? I can't unpray. Yeah, let's go. We are going to the place. The lions are there. Our God will do two things. Either he will deliver me, or he will let the lions eat me. Either way, I am his. Do you understand? And let's go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, look, we've seen God do these type of things before. Our God is able to deliver us from your hands. But just in case he doesn't, you see, just in case he doesn't, we still want you to know that we will not bow down to this image or anything. our joy and so it doesn't depend on all these things. Do you understand? So we are sorry, but if it offends you, we apologize. But as for bowing down to your image, we cannot do it. We will not do it today, we will not do it tomorrow, we will not do it the next day or next year. So you decide what you want to do with us. And the king said, hey, all right, into the fire you go. And the guys knew that we are finished. As they were approaching the fire, even the guys who were throwing them into the fire were being burnt by the fire. And so they must have been surprised that they were still alive. And they threw them into the fire. I tell you, it was not a joke. But you see, what else could they do? They didn't do anything about it. Hallelujah. Learn to recognize situations you can't change and accept them as they are. And trust yourself into the hand of the Lord, all the while keeping hold of your joy, maintaining your joy. Learn to maintain your joy. Always be filled with joy. Be happy that you are saved. Hallelujah. Be happy that if you were to die today, you will go to heaven. Let that mean something to you. It must mean something to you. Your salvation must be a source of joy to you. Amen. Knowing the Lord must be a source of joy to you. And whatever else the Lord has given you, whatever else is working, that you are alive, that you are healthy, you're not having to be rushed to the hospital today, you're not having to collapse and to die, you're not having to do so many things, you're not being thrown out of your apartment tonight. I mean, it's a blessing. Even if you don't know where the next rent is coming from, at least this one you have, tonight you can sleep in the room. Isn't it? Yeah, tonight you sleep there. It's tomorrow that we don't know. I mean, while it's today, we can. Don't import tomorrow's problems into today to disturb it. That's what Jesus meant when he said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said that tomorrow will take care of itself. Do you understand? That don't overload today. Sometimes your life is not a happy one because your present is overloaded with concerns about the future. The future is distorting your present. Do you understand? The future has been prematurely imported into your present. It has been activated before its time. You're worrying about tomorrow's lunch tonight. You see what I'm saying? You see, and it's not like worrying about it will change the problem that is happening tomorrow afternoon. Do you see? One day I heard someone say that worry is the interest you pay on trouble before you get it. That as you worry, it's free because it won't change the trouble. The trouble itself is the trouble. The trouble will come with its own problem. It will come with its own difficulty. And if it's coming tomorrow afternoon, it's coming fully. Yeah, so the worry you are worrying from now to tomorrow afternoon is free, is interest that you are paying on the trouble that will come with its own problem. Hey, it's not a small thing. So at least try to be happy between now and the trouble. And learn it. It's an art you have to develop. And Paul said it. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state is in Philippians. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Do you get it? It's not something that he rose up naturally having. Some people think it's a function of your temperament. They feel that, oh, there are some people, they are just, you know, like that, carefree, and they're easygoing. So no, it's something you learn. Do you understand? Perhaps depending on who you are, it may take longer to learn. But just like we all learn how to drive, nobody's born a driver. You understand? So regardless of your temperament, you have to learn how to drive. Maybe your temperament may make you a little more adventurous, and you may learn how to drive in 2 days or 3 days. Or your temperament may keep you away from the freeways even for 5 years after you have learned how to drive. You see what I'm saying? There are some people like that. So maybe that's where the temperament may help a little bit or hold you back a little bit. But as for the lessons, you must receive it. You understand? And Paul says, I took lessons to know how to stay content no matter what is happening. I took lessons. I had to learn how to be happy no matter what is going on in my life. Do you see what I'm saying? And don't get angry at people when they are happy while you are sad. Because sometimes you feel that because you are sad, everybody must freeze on happiness and come and join you in your sadness. And so if they don't join your sadness, it means they are not serious. It means they don't care about you. It means they don't see what is going wrong with you. They don't understand the depth of what you're going. I mean, if one person must suffer, why should we make it two? Are you following what I'm saying? We must learn what Paul learned. Have you found the verse? Let me tell you. What? Philippians what? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He said, Philippians. Wow. Being filled with joy. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is Superman. That's the real definition of Superman. I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. When I last saw a James Bond movie, hey, I couldn't believe what this James Bond was doing. How he had entered into the enemy's camp, totally surrounded, and the enemy had caught him. Take his watch. Maybe he has a bomb in the watch. Some little pin, put it in something. The next thing we knew, there was an explosion. Hey! The man is out. He's swimming in his suit. Hallelujah. That is Paul. Learn to keep your joy. Hallelujah. So be filled with joy. Another one is to be filled with faith. The Bible says Stephen was full of faith. Another one is to be filled with knowledge. To be filled with knowledge. Filled with knowledge. You know, Romans 15 and verse 4 says, I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Hallelujah. This is one of the reasons why you need to listen a lot to messages and also read the books that we have. Amen. Because they will impart unto you knowledge. The more you know, the more you can share. Isn't it? He said when you are filled with knowledge, you'll be able to also admonish people. Isn't it? When you are filled with knowledge, you'll be able to admonish one another. Amen. So, let's pursue knowledge. Amen. I think I announced to you on Tuesday that we're going to have Vision 2028 for shepherds, isn't it? And the camp, we're listening to the camp, the beautiful job, isn't it? The beautiful job. Yeah. I hope you all have the Makane. You all have the Makane? Makane Extra, and all the other products we have, right? So speak to Elpak if you don't have one, and she will help you connect with one. Amen. And listen to these things, because there's a wealth of knowledge stored in these camps and these messages. And the more you hear them, the richer you become in knowledge. The richer you become in knowledge, the better you are able to admonish people. When you speak, they wonder where you're coming from. Even your colleagues at work will start to see that you're deep. They start to say you're deep. They start to say things like, this guy, man, you make all these profound statements. Where do you get these things from? Yeah, it's because you're feeding on a source. You talk like what you hear. You see what I'm saying? So keep listening and it will be a blessing unto you. Say amen. Then another one is to be filled with goodness. Filled with goodness. Be filled with what? Goodness. Romans 15 and verse 4. Ye also are full of goodness. So you can be filled with goodness. You can be filled with positive things. isn't it? Right. Then, seven things you must not be filled with. Very quickly, I'll just... They are all in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Amen. This is Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. These are negative things that people can be filled with. Do you understand? But as you develop roots and as you become deeper, you must avoid being filled with these things and rather be filled with the positive things that we have described earlier. Hallelujah. So number one, do not be filled with unrighteousness. You see, you're always finding some way to do the wrong thing. Do you understand? There are some people who major in doing, always finding a way around something. Do you understand? They're always trying to be crooked. Just trying to, you can't do things straightforward. Do you see? And it becomes a habit. Sometimes at a point, you see people just get, they just think always in a certain, it's almost like their mentality is criminalized. You understand? They're always thinking of something negative. There are even things you can just walk straight from here to here. They want to climb a wall over here and just pass here and just see. Always thinking of some negative way to do even some very simple things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be filled with unrighteousness. Another one is do not be filled with fornication. Amen. As for fornication, he said, do not mention the name even once among you. Can I have an amen? So do not be filled with fornication or things that tend towards fornication. Hallelujah. So that's another thing we must be careful of. The next one is wickedness and maliciousness. You know, wickedness and maliciousness. When you talk about maliciousness, you're talking about having devious intentions. Do you see? Yeah, devious intentions. Says you must not be filled with them. Amen. Next one is do not be filled with covetousness. Covetousness is I want, I want, I want. Greed. Never satisfied. Always looking for the next thing. Once somebody has something, you want it. Do you see? When someone wants something, has something, you want it. You are never satisfied with what you have. But you need to get to that place where you are content with what you have. Even if you don't have much. Can I have an amen? Jesus said clearly, he said, be careful. Somebody came to see him. That look, speak to my brother to divide the inheritance with me. A family problem and you are trying to involve Jesus. And tell my brother that he should share the inheritance properly. And then Jesus said, look, beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Isn't it? How has your life changed since you got all the shoes you wanted? All the shirts you wanted? How has your life changed? Do you understand? You see, even when you look at your clothes, you see that generally you wear just from here to here. It's just a few of them. The rest of them are souvenirs. The rest of them just serve to remind you that you once owned them. And they are just there. But you don't wear them. Even the joy to wear them has left you. When you wear them, a certain happiness does not come. You see, you feel like you don't look nice in them anymore. And then sometimes you really, 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 things have changed. You get it? Things have changed. You get it? When you bought them, there was no belly. Now the belly has come. You get it? And there's no space in the shirt for it. You see? So you see that all these things have affected them. You are still the same. So let's learn to detach ourselves from these things. Can I have an amen? Another one is envy and murder. Full of envy and murder. Then the next one is being filled with deceit. And the last one is full of cursing and bitterness. Being filled with cursing and bitterness. That one is Romans chapter 3 and verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Have you met any of those people whose mouth is full of cursing? Huh? Yeah. I mean, if it's not an F, it's an S word, just swapping places one after the other. The F this of the S that is the F this of the S that, and it's the F this of the S that. I mean, just full of cursing. It's in their spirit, and they can't even express themselves without it. That must not be the lot of the Christian. Amen? So do not be filled with bitterness. Do not be filled with debate. Debate is another one. Debate. Debate is being argumentative. Unnecessarily argumentative. You find some Christians who just like to argue. And they say, well, you know me, I like to play the devil's advocate. Indeed. You want to be an advocate for someone, why choose the devil? You want to talk for someone, why do you choose the devil? Why do you want to be the devil's advocate? Why do you want to talk for the devil? Why do you want to always take the opposing side just for its sake, for the sake of being different? Do you understand? It's a sign of pride. It's a sign of pride to just want, okay, if everybody is for it, then I'm against it. For what? Who is going to pay you? Hallelujah. Be careful that if you become a devil's advocate, he doesn't hire you and give you a permanent job. Amen? Where you're always a source of argument and a source of contention among the brethren. Hallelujah. So let's be careful with these things so we are not filled with them and the Lord will bless us. We're talking about becoming deep in the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet and bring the service to a close. We'll continue next time we meet. Amen. All right. Are you blessed? Wow. Just bow your heads and let's pray. Everybody pray. I don't know what in all these things ministered to you, but I'm sure that somewhere in that message there was something for you. I want you to pray about it. Just take a few moments and pray about it. It's important that after our sermons, we spend a little time just praying about what we have just heard. The least prayer must be that God will help you to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, deceiving yourself, that you will be a doer of the word. You will do the things that you have learned in the message today. Pray for roots and depth in the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Draw me deeper and deeper into your light of truth. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your love for me. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper to the draw me deeper and deeper, but I may know your love. Draw me deeper, draw me deeper, draw me deeper into your word of truth. Draw me deeper. Father, we thank you for your blessing tonight. Thank you for speaking to us. Give us grace, courage, and strength to walk in the things we have heard, the things the Holy Spirit has brought to our people. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen.